Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house.
Dying over here. Dying, bro. Fucking dying, bro.
Not
welcome
me.
Everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's gotta be about it, my suitcase, Tom. And as you can hear it, we're in the WrestleMania hangover season right now.
Oh, people are pissy on this podcast. I mean, allergies, work. God,
just the
damn.
Grumpies. Got the grumpies. I got the grumpies. Guys, I'm feeling it. I think I'm feeling it. I really am feeling, and I tried to fight it, but that WrestleMania hangover is a bit of a, it's in effect for me right now. Even though I look forward to Raw and SmackDown since WrestleMania has been done, AEW is still around. So there's a show.
Company. Yep.
But I don't know, NXT looks awesome as we're recording right now. Just the previews for it look fantastic, but I don't know. Mike, you said you were feeling it like immediately after WrestleMania was done.
Yeah, it's rough this year.
Like, wrestling's rough or after WrestleMania's rough?
Both. Like, trying to get through Raw last night was a fucking challenge, even for me.
Hey, do I have a recommendation for you? Don't watch 2.5 hours of Raw when you can get it done in a sharp 15 minutes.
I'd be interested to know what the hell they filled 15-minute highlights with that steaming pile of shit they gave us last night.
I have this weird... like maybe it's FOMO more than anything, but I bitch so much about 3-hour Raws that now that they're mm-hmm. less than 3 hours, I feel like, well, I better do my part and watch the show. It's less than 3 hours. We said it would be better. And it wasn't too bad. I didn't hate it, but it was a show. It was there. I watched it and now I'm kind of moving on with it. But yeah, we're in that weird void spot right now where WrestleMania happened, Backlash is coming up, and the rumors of a draft coming up in late May or sometime in May, which means kind of everything right now doesn't really mean a whole lot. So we're just in that void right now. And it's hard to get really pumped up for myself personally. It's hard to get really pumped up about anything. And then the Backlash card is looking. It's
interesting.
Looking, I'm trying to get psyched up for it, but I don't know. We've got 3 official matches announced. And the way I look at it, Tom, and Mike, is the trend is pay-per-views only have 5 matches on them the last year or so, right? So
I fucking hate that.
What 2 matches are going to make the card and what's not making the card? on Backlash. Yeah, next Saturday. Yeah, next Saturday. Holy smokes.
I think Backlash already.
Wow. Yeah. That's because WrestleMania is so fucking late. Don't put it so fucking late. It was so fucking late. It was like late April. It's too late.
The Rumble being in February fucked everything up.
Everything. Fucking. Fuck.
Yeah, Backlash. Randy Orton versus John Cena. You excited? I'm excited.
Not one bit. God. Am I excited?
Scotty, tell me about how excited you are for the savior of wrestling, John Cena, to go
up against. Not one bit. Here's going to be the match. Boop, 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 I hear voices. Oh my God. Ding, ding, ding. Slow, boring, slow, false finish. Slow, boring. They're outside the ring now. Boring, slow, false finish. Kick in the dick. The match is over. That's the match. That's the match. John
like,
Cena wins.
Sounds like a Sami Zayn match.
I'm cutting you off this show right now. Where's the delete button?
There's no button for it.
I know. I'm just very upset. Sammy doesn't need to be taking any shots right now. He was the MVP of Monday Night Raw last night. Doesn't need to be taking any shots.
No, he wasn't.
Right
His promo was fucking awful.
Doesn't need to be taking any shots.
The fucking face he was pulling in that promo looked like my fucking 1-year-old niece trying to take a shit.
I acknowledge you, Sami Zayn.
Pissing me the fuck off.
Canadian hero, Canadian icon. Thank you, Sammy.
The motherfucker is Syrian.
He's born in Canada.
Was he fuck?
He was fuck. He was born in Quebec. He was born in Quebec.
No.
Just because he's got gingivitis doesn't mean you have to attack him.
I'm fucking Googling it.
I thought he was very good last night. I like that we're kind of getting this slow burn right now with what Sammy is doing and with the Seth Rollins group faction thing. Again, we're in the void, so you can't have Seth going right after Jey Uso's world championship. You've got to build to that a little bit. You've got to build this faction a little bit with Paul Heyman, Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins.
Oh, Sammy's joining. That's not what I got from that last night.
I take it back. He is from Quebec.
Thank you.
He was trained by Savio Vega?
I did not. The only thing I know about, I know a lot about Savio Vega, but that's not one of them.
And Savio Vega and The Wall from WCW.
Oh, man. I saw a picture of The Wall on Twitter the other day. I'm like, man, that guy was over in WCW. Good for you, The Wall.
I quite often think if The Wall and Chris Candido was still here, they'd be having a fucking fantastic Legends run in GCW right now.
Right? Oh, man. I do want to say, Mike, you had referenced Sami Zayn's promo from Monday Night Raw this week. Tom got very upset about it.
He fired up.
I will say, Sami Zayn stating that he will be a world heavyweight champion one day. He's not going to take that easy route to go to SmackDown, just be handed a number one contender spot.
Probably should though.
Sounds
like a pretty good deal, Sammy.
He should have taken the deal to get the fuck off my TV.
I think that at some point Sammy will turn on Jey Uso. Because he's put it out there, he will be world champion. I think that gets paid off, but I think somewhere down the line, he has to turn on Jey Uso to make that happen. That's what I think right now. So
I hope so, because I love heel Sammy.
No, you don't like Sammy at all. No, you guys have stated this on the podcast. Sammy.
Don't love me. My hatred is pure.
Babyface Sammy can jump in a volcano. Heel Sammy is amazing.
Just released the documentary about the conspiracy theory Sami Zayn from the COVID era and make us all happy because he says it's done. It's completed. They have it. But
it was so funny.
I think there's a long-term story here with Sammy eventually turning because that's the only way he'll get a shot at the world championship. But thank you, Sammy, for everything you've done for the business and for the fans. And
Jesus, yeah, I guess.
I can't wait.
Speaking of something that was actually good, there was a TLC match on SmackDown this week.
Boy, was there ever. Almost yeah. like you could have put that on fucking WrestleMania.
What a good idea that would have been.
Wow.
No, you couldn't have because lied. You couldn't have. Do you know why? Because the ladder would have been made of foam for Clash of Clans fucking 8 or whatever this. It would have been gimmicked up too much. Why. That's what but I think. I think it would have been gimmicked up way too much.
If they'd put that on night one, it would have livened up the show way before that main event needed to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could have put a monkey mm-hmm. fucking a football on night one. It would have livened up that show. But they didn't do that. They yeah, didn't.
It's a PG show.
Oh, sorry.
I don't understand how that still doesn't make the cut. With those teams.
Is it needed two is it hours the, for advertising?
Is it the old school thinking of more eyes will see it on SmackDown? More people will see it on SmackDown?
Amount of fucking people would have saw it on the same network, on Netflix.
SmackDown on Netflix now?
No, yeah, SmackDown like, in the United States is on Fox still.
I thought Raw was on the Fox. I don't fucking
know. No, Raw's on Netflix in North America. Or around the world.
All I hear about is how 80% of the world can see this. It's all I fucking hear.
Well, we're the international audience, so we get that. But that doesn't include the United States.
I don't give a fuck about the United States.
I'm just saying that could be a reason because more eyes could have been on the product or on that TLC match on SmackDown on USA Network.
They pulled out some really cool spots that we have not seen in a WWE ring.
I'm with you. That match, you and I talked before that match, Tom, and I had said, I'm really looking forward for a really good match. I don't want a spot fest. You had said, give me all the spot fests.
Give me
and
everything.
I think we got a good mixture of both. I think we got a good build up to those bigger spots.
The one thing I like is it wasn't spot fest within the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Like it you wasn't said, the Young they Bucks.
Exactly. Don't get me started. They built up to the craziness and then they went fucking nuts.
All three teams looked like superstars. Although I will say Alex Shelley looked pissed off, even just doing his entrance. He looked grumpy as fuck.
I think he's just a grumpy old man now.
Could be, but I see Alex Shelley or Chris Sabin coming out and like doing the entrance and doing the fucking thing. And Alex Shelley's just kind of walking beside him. And I was trying to figure out, like, is this just you being serious because you've got a very serious, dangerous match coming up against you or coming up? Or are you grumpy about something? It took me out of the moment for a second, but the match build up, the match was great. I loved the way the Street Profits looked. I like the new edge that the Street Profits have within the match now where they're going to dish out punishment. They're going to hit some high spots. They're going to have fun with the crowd, but it's no longer just pandering to the crowd to get the we want the smoke and all that fun stuff. I feel like this iteration of the Street Profits is the best we've seen.
Angelo Dawkins was the MVP of this match for me.
Dude took some bumps.
He took some bumps, and that I initially was a little bit like, don't do the Edge and Jeff Hardy spear spot. Don't do that.
I said the same thing.
That didn't look right.
But when they moved the table underneath, I was like, okay, you changed it. Cool.
I was scared when they pulled that table out underneath. I'm so like, this is not going to go well.
They were close to that leg.
I think that's why Ciampa. I think that's why Ciampa had to land on his ass. Because if he had extended out, his neck would have landed right where those legs are. So scary spot. Also, the reaction was huge, though.
Fair play to Ciampa. He was dangling off of that thing for a long time.
I was telling the wife, they better go because his forearms have got to be burning. He was hanging up there for so long.
He's an athlete. And then you can deal with it.
Yeah, but he's still hanging up there. His forearms are burning. It's been a 25-minute match already. I know he's an athlete, Mike. I see his abs. I look at him every day. Dude's jacked.
Every day.
I forgot I said that.
That's a sign. Yeah. Can't edit that out. Don't edit that out.
No one's listening anyway.
The prosthetic leg.
Oh, wrestling. My God.
Wrestling, man. Like, when the WWE is just like, they're probably just like, whoa, shit.
Right?
Yeah.
yelling at a producer, who approved a leg? You know,
like just
where the fuck the leg come from?
I literally said that because I did. Where the fuck did that come from? Then I saw him throw it back. I'm like, well, that's fun and cool. Love that.
It made it feel like you said fun.
There,
like
is
it felt like an indie match on WWE,
which I think we need more of. Not all the time because it still is WWE, but for these gimmicks, just let them go nuts.
Yeah.
You don't do them very often, so go balls to the wall every time.
It's nice to see. I'm really...
It was an incredible match that irritates the piss out of me that it was on fucking SmackDown. Yeah. Because really, everyone backstage was probably like, ooh, hindsight, right? Like, probably should have put this on the fucking Big Show.
Yeah
probably should have.
But I think, and it, many have said this already, them mean not being on WrestleMania probably put a big chip on their shoulder to show out on SmackDown to be like, you better not do it again. Because we just proved that we can be on that platform. We just proved that we can deliver. So there's your fucking warning.
I mean, you got to know, like Fightful Select says there's a huge, huge reaction backstage to that match.
Yeah.
And the biggest duh of the fucking week. Thanks, Fightful Select. That's news, goddammit. We could be doing that. Like, seems like people were pretty stoked with that TLC match.
Yeah,
they were.
Shit.
So, I guess my one takeaway, though, which probably isn't good for the tag team division as a whole, Montez Ford, you've got to make him the guy. You've got to make him a guy.
Disagree.
I'm not saying get to split the profits up. But
they could do it like the Hardy Boys always went off and did their own thing, but they were always still the Hardy Boys.
See, I think...
Take note, Usos. Take note.
I do agree with that. They don't have to completely split them up or do a big split, but I don't think you can hold back Montez Ford much anymore. The guy's an insane superstar. Everything he does looks great, believable. He reminds me of AJ Styles, Logan Paul, the way he sells and works in the ring. He reminds me of Shawn Michaels. I truly think that Montez Ford is the guy and is the future. But I also love a slow build when it comes to if a guy's in a tag team, moves on mid-carder, after that, moves on to the main event. But the Street Prof has been on the main roster for quite a while. I thought we were pulling the trigger on the breakup a year or two ago, and it didn't happen, so... I mean, I'm good with it because we got what we got last night. I really have high expectations for them to follow up with a great story on SmackDown this week going forward. But Montez Ford is the guy. I think Angelo Dawkins could be a great mid-carder. He could be a big force for the mid-card scene, maybe upper mid-card as well.
The only thing for me was during this build-up towards WrestleMania where they did a really good job of making people give a shit about the tag titles was Pretty Deadly and Los Garza were a huge part of that. Put them in the TLC match as well. Fuck it. Give us more bodies to throw around.
I was curious as to why there wasn't a fourth team in there, especially because Pretty Deadly seemed to be a pretty big deal of the tag team title build up to last month, 2 months.
Yeah.
So
that would have been cool.
I also think Fraxium, which I hate the name, by the way, Fraxium. You've got two guys that are like basically superheroes and that's the best you can come up with for a tag team name. Fucking figure it out. I think Fraxium should have been drafted to Raw. The Raw needs more tag teams on their division. So SmackDown's pretty loaded when it comes to tag teams. Over on Raw, you've got the Viking guys. You've got the New Day. And is that it?
Judgment Day?
I guess, yeah. Judgment Day when they're in and out kind of thing. So I think Fraxium should have been drafted over there, but we did get some big debuts post WrestleMania that we haven't really gotten into. We talked a little bit about Rusev last week, which I really enjoyed Rusev's promo this week on Raw.
That was awesome. I also
Shades of the Redeemer.
We're getting the Redeemer in WWE.
Yeah. Shade at AEW. I've been in the abyss.
Been in the void, the abyss. I mean, yeah.
I laughed quite a lot at that.
And even
a lot more of that, I believe.
Even the WWE's tweet about with Rusev's thing saying he's here to redeem. And I'm like, ooh, I love it because you guys know I love the Redeemer gimmick in AEW with Rusev. That is the character that I want. I don't think we're going to get the full-blown, I need to win this championship for my gods kind of thing on WWE TV, but I think we're in for a hell of a run with Rusev. Very excited about it. But on SmackDown last week, the worst-kept secret in pro wrestling, we got the return of Aleister Black coming out, interrupting The Miz. I'll get to that in a second, but we truly got the return of Aleister Black. We got the music, we got the entrance, we got the gear, the look, everything. The name's the same. We got the old music, which I was really worried about. We were gonna get Def Rebel fucked. But Tom, when you first saw it, when you first heard it, when you first see it, we're getting the old Aleister Black back. How do you feel?
I was very happy. I like Aleister Black. That guy can just go. I also love the still selling eye for an eye injury with the the contact lens.
Yep.
Like, it's been 5 years. Can you believe that's been 5 years?
COVID, baby.
That stupidity.
Yep.
Do I wish he had something better to do on his return than kick Miz in the face? Oh,
man.
Yeah. Well, you know, kick Miz in the arm, I guess.
You got to think about it. This is what blew me away with his return. Because I watched the return. Obviously, we like Aleister Black. He's a hell of a talent. Mm-hmm. This kind of segment is probably the reason he left WWE. So to come. Like, oh, that's it. That's it.
You know what? One thing I hope this leads to, though, and there's a way that it could, Aleister Black versus Jacob Fatu for the U.S. title.
Sure. There's a lot of talent that Aleister Black should be wrestling.
Well, WWE. I think the plan is you're going to have the match with The Miz. That's already announced. But The Miz is aligned with Carmelo Hayes.
That'll be good.
And we're going to get Black versus Carmelo. And it seems like, for now, I feel like they're actually going to run with Carmelo and make him winning the Andre somewhat important. He got that big gold chain with the Andre head, which was fucking weird. But
that thing was fucking ugly.
It looks pretty homemade, but if they're going to make the Andre somewhat important and he's going to try to build up, oh, I'm the Andre winner, I should be getting this, this, and this, and it matches his character, cool. And then we get Carmelo versus Aleister Black. Carmelo also has issues with Andrade. We could be getting triple threats, so... We're getting some really cool matches, which is great.
I would watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to watch that. But eventually I'm going to need some really good storytelling with the Aleister Black character. Because if I wanted cool matches with Aleister Black, once a year, I could have watched AEW when they actually let him work. But it's just, I want stories. I want a good story with Aleister Black working his way up to a championship or whatever the end goal is for him. But great to have him back up. Do you guys like some of these NXT women appearing on the main roster, but also still on NXT, and it's kind of a back and forth deal?
I'm indifferent.
I want you to either be here or there.
As long as they don't cut the NXT women's roster like they seem to do after every WrestleMania. So, like, maybe don't call up Roxanne, Julia, and Stephanie Vaquer at the same time.
It's almost feel like they're testing the waters with that main roster crowd.
Stephanie Vaquer seems to be quite popular.
Yeah, well,
I wonder why.
Yeah, he looks rad.
Come on now. I don't like Stephanie's had two great matches on Raw, which is great, but if she's the NXT champion, she should be worrying about NXT and that stacked women's division.
Agreed. She's gonna lose that strap soon. Like, I think those in question are gonna move up. Obviously, they have talent pool.
Yeah.
That it's time. And I think, not a jab, but like the women's roster in the main card could get spiced up with some fucking wrestlers. Some Agreed. Fucking wrestlers.
Agreed. Need some help.
It's wild because, like, I think there's talent on there. Because you know what, guys? If there's one thing I'm going to say about SmackDown and a women's match, it's going to be Zelina Vega and Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green is doing her fucking job in a way that makes me think of the old man's era. I'm like, this is how you kept your job in the Vince era. Yeah. Is you do what Chelsea Green does.
Yeah. Just be entertaining.
I'm like, you can't be a killer, Chelsea Green. And you know that. And I appreciate someone who knows I'm not going to be facing Rhea Ripley.
The thing I like about Chelsea Green, and it's kind of exactly what you just said, but in a different way. She's not the best wrestler. She's never going to be. She says herself in interviews, she should have been in the Divas era.
100%.
But she works her ass off, and you can tell.
Yeah, Chelsea Green's the kind of person who doesn't say no, where they're like, we're going to do this spot.
Okay.
She's like, I'll do it. Yeah.
Like the Money in the Bank spot where she's off the top of the ladders.
Mm-hmm. I think she's a very, very good wrestler. She holds her own. And the match with Zelina was very good. I like that both those women got time to perform.
Chelsea's a really weird one for me because if you see my Twitter, you know how much I really enjoy her work.
Mm-hmm.
But she bumps like a wet sponge.
Mm-hmm.
She bumps weird.
It's for me, it's one of those things where it's this the Divas era kind of, you see it, especially when there's the Julias and the EOs and the Rias and like women's wrestlers.
Like
where you're like, damn, you're
Julia's gonna kill her.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like absolutely.
Speaking of killing.
Oh, murder.
We're going to see a murder at Backlash.
We can only fucking hope.
When Gunther faces Pat McAfee. Now, we obviously always talk before the show about what do we want to talk about on the show. And the only thing I wanted this week was some time to talk about Pat McAfee. And he is quite potentially the most frustrating person that has ever been on WWE TV in my time as a fan. In the way that sometimes I really, really fucking like him and think he is fantastic. And then 5 minutes later in the same episode of TV, I want to reach through the screen and choke him. And I don't know how to feel about him. And that's not a good space for a TV talent to be in. However, I will say the times we've seen him in the ring, apart from when he tried to wrestle 76-year-old Vince McMahon at WrestleMania, he has been very good. And I actually think him and Gunther could put on a match that I will enjoy watching. Do I think it's what Gunther should be doing after losing the title at WrestleMania? Absolutely fucking not.
Thank you.
But do I think it might help him be a even bigger bad heel to destroy the commentator? Sure, why not? I very much enjoyed watching him choke Pat out on Raw, so getting to watch him do it again on a pay-per-view, cool. Anyway, discuss.
I fucking hate that Gunther is wrestling Pat McAfee on a fucking premium live event. I hate it. I hate it so much. You want to talk about the downswing? Like, did Gunther piss someone off backstage? Because that was what it feels. First, you lose to Jey Uso. Incredibly embarrassing. I mean, you lost to the Yeet movement. Hate to see it. And now you're going to fucking wrestle an NFL punter who is now a commentator? Dude, you're a fucking wrestler. Like, what is the booking? There's so many fucking stars. You know what? Have them lock up with Rusev. I don't fucking care if they're both heels. Let's have them wrestle guys who are wrestlers. God forbid.
Love that.
But no, for the sake of a storyline, which I agree, I don't think that stuff was bad, the choking out of Pat.
No.
I think it was actually a pretty entertaining segment. But I wish Pat would have had someone in his back pocket to be like, this person's got my back. And it was Michael Cole. But it would be another way to get another talent on the fucking card and doing their job as a professional wrestler.
So one of the reasons I'm kind of okay with it is Michael Cole is now really popular with the fans like JR used to be.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll use that for someone to insult Michael Cole, and then Jerry Lawler used to step up and wrestle them. I know it's different because the King was a legendary wrestler.
Yes, he was a professional wrestler.
But I always kind of liked that when, like, the King would be like, fuck you, I'm going to get in there and kick your ass.
So it's kind of like the retreading moment, right? So, like, the Seth faction being similar to Evolution.
Yeah.
What we're seeing here, just retreading. And I get it. Like, how much new can you possibly do? But, guys, also fun fact. You guys see Karrion Kross this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Karrion Kross sucks. Karrion Kross is a fucking nobody. That's a guy who can be getting some fucking spotlight. But no, we're going to have a huge segment on Monday Night Raw of Pat McAfee getting choked out by Gunther. And then another spot taken from real talent backstage for Pat McAfee. So clearly it's either the rub of his show is getting fans to get eyes on WWE.
I was going to say, is it a which Travis Scott?
That clearly is working. And that, the Fed is clearly all on board.
I was going to bring it up. What's the difference between Pat McAfee and Logan Paul and Bad Bunny?
Logan Paul's good. Logan Paul became a professional wrestler.
Logan Paul gave AJ Styles his worst match in WrestleMania.
That Shinsuke match was still pretty bad. I don't care. I don't care. Logan Paul match.
Not good.
That Logan Paul match was a stinker.
It's all the same thing. It's to get more eyes on the product. I think
it's
two. Yeah. It's a little bit twofold. It's to get that Pat McAfee audience to watch Backlash because it is a post WrestleMania show. It's not Money in the Bank, which is next month, and I think it's next month. Yeah. So it's just get to more eyes on. And like I said before, we're in the void. We're in that weird spot where it's post WrestleMania. Money in the Bank is in June and there's supposedly a draft coming up. So nothing really matters. So Mike, when you said it should have been Rusev, I'm like, oh my God, I would have loved that. Absolutely loved that.
A wrestler. But I mean, for the sake of story, they're on every Monday. So yeah, sure. Like, they don't know what's going to happen with Rusev, right? Like, this is still putting the pieces together. Like, I don't think they had a definitive booking plan for Rusev when he was coming back.
The other thing as well, though, is if they throw the returning Rusev on a pay-per-view with Gunther, who just dropped the title.
I know.
Rusev has to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to be on a pretty, pretty big heater. Mm-hmm. I would think that much.
Yeah,
tell that to Akira Tozawa.
I'm actually quite looking forward to Rusev versus Otis next week. Those are two big boys.
Sure.
And I know he's a comedy wrestler, but if they give Otis some time, he can go. He proved that against Chad Gable.
He can go, but this is where I'm also saying too. I'm like, look at how Aleister Black came back in. It felt like the old man book that he's like, go kick the Miz.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck you. Go and then it's like, Otis. Hey, Rusev, go wrestle Otis. You're like, it kind of feels exactly where I was when I left.
It worries
to go
me.
Go do the other thing.
It worries me because look at the booking of Andrade. Outside of him having awesome matches since he's come back to WWE, we haven't really got a story with Andrade.
And it's fucking foolish because of the Andre, where you're like, mm-hmm. that actually builds a story in itself.
Yeah.
Like this, Andrade should be up there, but I don't know. Are we getting... I guess the final question for the pod is, are we getting ready for more cuts?
Yes.
I mean, obviously you kind of have to.
Not that it's ever good when people lose their job, but that it's too crowded.
It's man, you can't get guys down to Mexico quick enough to go work some dates in AAA.
get some people down to AAA, do that thing they seem to do every year after WrestleMania, send a mid-carder to NXT for a year, and cut some fat. The guys and girls can make a living on the indies better now than you ever could. I'm sure Tony will sign a good portion of them as well.
I think he's got to know with like an Aleister Black leaving, like there's got to be people who are like, fuck, like I can stay and work here. Do I want to continue working and just, you could be a Rusev or a Miro there where it's like, I got my paycheck. I don't have to fucking work. But then you're just like, yeah, but then I'm not a star. So not only am I not on TV, like continuing this after is no good. You go to these places because you want to be a fucking star. Like, obviously, you want to sell shirts and you want to do the thing.
But you also want to work. You're wasting your career if you're sitting around for 2 years doing fucking nothing. You're wasting those glory years of your career.
I mean, let's get real. Everyone wants a comfortable schedule where you do have to do very little work. Carlito, smartest man. Just the smartest motherfucker in wrestling.
As much as I love him, R-Truth.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's like a fun show idea is who would we cut from the main roster if cuts were to be made?
Yeah.
I actually was totally shocked you said that name. I'm like, oh yeah, Braun Strowman still works for that company.
Let's we can write it down, make a market for next week. You know, if we had the pen and the eraser, who are we making cuts to from the main roster of WWE?
The Wyatt Six, Karrion Kross.
Easy. No spoilers. No spoilers. And we don't wish anybody to lose their job, but cuts are part of the process, kind of thing, right? And some of these cuts, you might even be like, I think they
Finn
have a
Balor. Future. Jey Uso.
but sometimes the cuts are a good thing because people can go and do what Drew McIntyre did.
You can rebuild yourself and show that you're an actual asset. I think Baron Corbin's doing that right now.
I think he's starting to do that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's he doing? What have I missed?
Bishop Dyer.
I know that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think show up in as many things as you're gonna go to and get over that way. The Cody route.
Yeah.
Finish your story, Baron Corbin. Finish your story.
We are up against the clock here, but let us know your thoughts on anything you heard today, anything you're watching. Hit us up on the podcast socials at In My House Pod, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Blue Sky.
What the fuck is Blue Sky?
For UK, Tom, Monday Night Mike, Scotty Villa. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.